بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. Today this is our last session 67 lessons in fiqh مستوى الثالث third level Islamic University Medina Arabic Language Institute. Today, inshallah, we're going to continue and hopefully finish with the topic that we started a couple of weeks ago, and that is the mahdhurat of ihram, the things that are prohibited while in the state of ihram for Hajj Umrah. The topic that we're going to discuss today is a continuation of that topic. Specifically, though, it's going to be dealing with the ruling concerning one who has violated any of the prohibitions of ihram. And what is the ruling concerning the person who has violated one of these mahdhurat of ihram? Now, we said previously in the first session dealing with this topic that there are approximately 9 things that are prohibited while a person is in ihram, specifically related to them being in the state of ihram. Yani there are things that are prohibited in ihram and out of ihram, and there are some things that are prohibited because of a person being in ihram. And we said that in our first session there are approximately 9 things. Some of the scholars have added 1 or 2 other matters. Some scholars have combined some things and others have separated them. So the numbers might be a little bit different, but basically there are about 9 matters. We didn't talk much about what is the penalty or what is the consequence of a person violating any of those affairs. So, well, we did read from Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, his book, Fiqh al-Ibadat. Yani, what are the consequences of a person who has sexual relations with their spouse before the first stage of getting out of ihram, tahallul al-awwal. He said that there are 5 consequences, which are, anybody remember what they are? Qada, yani he has to make up the hajj in the next year. What else?
Fidya.
Fidya. He has to make a sacrifice of a camel to be distributed to the poor. He has to continue with the hajj that year, even though the hajj became invalid. Naam. Are that 5? Is that 5? If the hajj became invalid, he has to continue with it. He has to make it up the next year. And there's also one more matter we didn't mention. The sin against him. Yani that is sinful. And there is against him a sin that he will be accountable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. Other than that, yani the consequence of a person having sexual relations with their spouse while in the state of ihram before the first tahalluq, we didn't mention the consequences of any of the other violations of ihram. So today, inshallah, we're going to read what Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen has said from where we read last week, Fiqh al-Ibadat, on page 353 and 354 and 355 and 356. There's some very important information contained in this particular topic that the Shaykh presents to us, and I would hope that since we have a little bit more time this week, because we changed the time to after Maghrib, I would hope that we'll be able to finish it. But of course, having a little bit of extra time is one factor, and the other factor is that we don't get sidetracked. with things that are unrelated to what we are presenting. All right, so let's get right into the topic now.
Because you talked about sin, because when you do the hajj, we have a reward. So the hajj is going to make up, doesn't have like a reward.
The one that is invalidated?
Because you said that it's going to have sin.
There will be a sin against the person for committing that act while they're in the state of ihram.
So the hajj is going to make up, like the next year, it's not rewarding like
that. Oh, the hajj, will it make up for the sin?
Because the hajj, when we do the hajj, we have a reward for that. But since we mentioned the sin, that the hajj is sin, does it mean that the hajj is going to make up for the next year? It's not like rewarding as a hajj, not rewarding.
No, if a person performs hajj, even though it's make up, and there's reward for it, no doubt. There's reward for it.
Has a sin for
Well, any as far as the sin, it's like any other sin, right? A person commits a sin, major sin or minor sin, and there are expiations for sin, right? There are things that remove sins. Okay, like from the five prayers of the day, remove sins. Yani, according to the majority of scholars, at least minor sins, and one Hajj to the next Hajj, yani, remove sins and so on like this. Umrah ila al-umrah, al-hajj, mabroor, and so on. So there are lots of things that remove sins. However, all of it, of course, is subject to the Mashiach of Allah.
Since he has the fidya, like to, he has the fidya, all those stuff, so the sins didn't really come to my hand. Mm-hmm.
Inshallah, if a person performs Hajj, the Hajj al-Mabrur that's accepted, yani it's performed sincerely for the sake of Allah alone, it's performed in accordance with the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yani free of sin and corruption and wrongdoing. Inshallah, if Allah accepts the Hajj, the reward for Hajj al-Mabrur is Jannah. So we hope that if a person, and he fell into that kind of situation, that when they made the Hajj in the following year, that they would perform it correctly. Hopefully this would be, yani. And usually a person, a normal person, when they are punished, it usually helps them to be better, right? Not all people. Okay, so we're reading from Fiqh al-Ibadat, the fatwa related to Hajj on page 353 from Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen. Hukum man talabbasa, yani irtakaba, بِبَعَدِ مَحْذُرَاتِ الْإِحْرَامِ Yani the ruling concerning the one who has yani committed any of the violations, things that are prohibited in the state of Ihram. The question is question number 251, and I'll just translate the question. فَلِيلَةِ الشَّيْكِ You have mentioned in detail the details. فَصَلْتُمْ Yani فِي الْجِمَاءِ Yani you have mentioned the details concerning the mahdhur, mahdhura of yani having sexual intercourse. Yani from the things that invalidate the state of ihram, you have only mentioned yani the details concerning sexual intercourse. And you mentioned that there are five matters that are the consequence of it, which we just talked about. However, the remaining violations of ihram, you haven't mentioned the ruling concerning the one who yani committed any of these violations. So the Shaykh says, okay, the karna dhalika inshallah. Naam, nadhkura dhalik. Yani so we'll mention yani what are the consequences of any of the other violations of ihram. Let me mention here that the Shaykh is going to mention some details, and he already mentioned the details concerning jima', sexual intercourse. He's going to mention the details relating killing the land animals. And he's going to mention the details related to the person who cuts or clips their hair, from their head specifically or from any part of the body. And then the other things that are violations of ihram, he's going to mention them yani in a summarized fashion. Okay, just so you could be aware, the details concerning jima'a, because its details are specifically mentioned in the Sharia, the details concerning killing a land animal, it has details concerning its consequences mentioned in the Sunnah, and the details concerning the cutting of the head and the other things that have consequences, violations of ihram that have consequences, come under the title of the third one. Yani, what are the consequences of the person who cuts their hair or clips their nails? Everything else comes under that if there's any consequence, if there's any penalty, if there's any punishment. Comes under the third one. So, the first one we already talked about, jima'. The second one is hunting land animals. The Shaykh says, فَأَمَّا السَّيْدِ فَقَدْ بَيَّنَ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى مَا يَتَرَتَّبْ عَلَيْهِ Allah has made clear, Allah the Most High has made clear what are the consequences of the person who hunts the land animal, who kills the land animal. And he mentions this in Surah Al-Ma'idah, 5th Surah, 95th Ayat, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَنْ قَتَلَهُ مِنْكُمْ مُتَعَمِّدًا Yani whoever from amongst you has killed the land animal intentionally. And this is an important word in this particular ayat, مُتَعَمِّدًا, intentionally. And the reason why I'm pointing it out now, so that we could keep it in our mind, that what about the person who did it unintentionally? Okay, what's the condition of a person who commits a sin unintentionally? Okay, so the ayah came clear, muta'ammidan. Now.
I keep wondering, how is it possible for someone to kill, to hunt while in the state of ihram?
How is it possible?
Yeah.
It's not that difficult. I mean, just because they have ihram, it doesn't stop them from carrying a gun or bow and arrow or whatever, a spear, to kill something. It's not difficult. Are you finding it difficult that somebody can do that, or that they would do that?
No, I mean, used to be maybe available or seen during the time of Hajj or the places of Hajj that you could easily kill.
Sure. They used to hunt in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It happened. It happened, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to them, "Did you hunt this? Was this hunted for you? Did you help in hunting it?" It happened in his lifetime. It happened. And so we know the ruling from the hadith like that, that the person who kills the animal, or who assists in the one who's hunting it, or even if it was hunted for you and you didn't participate at all, if the hunter hunted it for your sake, you can't eat from it. But yes, it happens. So whoever kills this animal, the land animal, وَمَنْ قَتَلَهُ مِنْكُمْ مُتَعَمِّدًا but intentionally, فَجَزَاءٌ مِثْلُ مَا قَتَلَ مِنَ النَّعَمِ. So the compensation is مِثْلُ مَا قَتَلَ, يعني the like of what he has killed, مِنَ النَّعَمِ, يعني from the يعني livestock, يعني camels, cows, goats, sheep, like this. The like of it, what is equal to it, what is similar to the animal that he has killed, is it more like a sheep or goat in its value, or a camel or a cow or whatever? Okay? That is the punishment. فَجَزَاءٌ مِثْلُ مَا قَتَلَ مِنَ النَّعْمِ يَحْكُمُ بِهِ ذَوَى عَدْلٍ مِنْكُمْ. Who will judge that the animal that has been killed is like a cow or a camel or a sheep or a goat? يعني those who possess, the possessors of justice, the just, يعني two just people from amongst you. حَجًّا بَالِغَ الْكَعْبَةِ, and this would be يعني the person will have to sacrifice the sheep or the goat or the cow or the camel that's equal to what he has killed. It has to be sent to the Kaaba, يعني to be sacrificed there and to be distributed to the poor. أو كفارة طعام مسكين أو أدل ذلك صياما. If there's no يعني animal from the livestock that's similar to what has been killed, that's equal to it, if that doesn't exist, then the expiation is feeding the poor, or the equivalent of that amount of feeding the poor, that in fasting, or the equivalent in fasting. Details of this Sheikh is going to explain. Yani meaning, the person has to sacrifice a camel or cow or goat or sheep, or if there's no animal that's equivalent to what he has killed, then the people, the just people from amongst them who will make the judgment, will evaluate the value of the animal that has been killed, and the value of that money would be spent in buying food to feed the poor, or the person will have to fast equal number of days. The days according to how many people would have been fed, yani, in the amount of the animal that was killed, whatever they valued it as. So the expiation, if there's no animal that's similar, then it would be either that the person will feed poor people food, the cost of which is equivalent to the value of the animal that he has killed, or yani fasting an equivalent amount of days. This is from Surah Al-Ma'idah, 5th Surah, 95th Ayah. The Shaykh says, so in explanation of this particular point concerning the hunting of land animals, if إذا كان هذا السيد مما له مثل من النعم, يعني if the animal that has been killed, that has been hunted, has from the land animals, the livestock animals, I mean, something that is equivalent to it, from those animals, the na'am, meaning al-ibl, al-baqr, al-ghanam, يعني the camel, the cow, or the sheep or goat. فَأَنَّهُ يَذْبَى مِثْلَهُ فِي مَكَّةِ. Then he will sacrifice, slaughter the animal that's like the animal that he has killed from the livestock. He will slaughter the animal in Mecca, وَيَتَصَدَّقْ بِهِ عَلَى الْفُقَرَاءِ, and then he will give the food, يعني the meat from the animal as sadaqa to the poor people. أَوْ يُجْعَلْ بَدَلَ الْمِثْلُ تَعَامًا. But if there's no animal that's like it, that he can sacrifice, that's equal to it, then what would be a substitute for the like that, يعني the like of it, what will be substitute is food that will be purchased and it will be distributed to the poor. So there's either an animal that they will say that is equivalent to it, like a cow or goat or sheep or camel. If there's not, then in that case, yani, food, yani, the animal will be sacrificed. If there's no animal, then food will be purchased in the amount that's equal to what its value is and will be distributed to the poor. Or يَصُومُ عَنْ إِطْعَامْ كُلُّ مِسْكِينْ يَوْمًا. If not feeding the poor, the person may not be able to feed the poor, then they will have to fast What will be their fast? They will feed and they will fast. For every person that they would have fed, if they had to feed people, they will fast one day for each person. Naam. Yani meaning, if the value of the animal that was killed was $200, the amount of food that you can purchase with $200, how many people would that feed? If that will feed 20 people, then you have to fast 20 days. If that will feed 50 people, it will fast 50 days. Now,
just have a concern. Now, the last time I went for Umrah, I find that most of the poor people at the Kaaba, they don't want to take food anymore. They want the money.
They don't want to take food. They want money. Then obviously they're not that poor. Yani. And a poor person will take food, because a poor person, they don't have money to buy food, they will take food. Person is not poor, maybe they said, I don't want no food, give me some money. I want to buy a pack of cigarettes, or I want to go to movies or something.
What if the person tried to give the food and the poor person refused? Should the person keep looking, or why should give that money to?
Allahu alam. I mean, this is a hypothetical situation. What I have found is many people said the same thing when I came here to New York 7 years ago. Yani, zakatul fitr, nobody wants food, they want money. But we found hundreds. Where's Talib at? Thousands of people in this city who take food. Yani, you just have to look. You have to look. That's all. There are plenty of poor people. Everywhere there are poor people, and they will take food if they're actually poor. And the one who doesn't take it, pass them and go to somebody else. Yani, this is what Allah has legislated. This is what we have to do. Yani, if it was, as Imam Malik said, that Yani, you are in a place where there's no food, Yani, then you can look for some options. But is there such a place where there's no food? If there was no food, you won't be living, right? Because no food, you'll die. So, I mean, it's not real. But in any case, Yani, if a person came to that, I guess they would deal with it then. But in reality, there are always poor people everywhere. Yani, what we found is that there are too many poor people, right? How much food you can bring, more people will say, I didn't get yet. They'll take it. Poor people will take it. Wallahu a'lam. In any case, this is what the Shaykh has said right here. He said that, yani, in reference to the land animal, that you should, that they will have to slaughter an animal that's equal to the one that they have killed and distributed to the poor. In the absence of that equivalent animal being available for sacrifice to be slaughtered, then they will purchase food that's equivalent in its amount and distribute it to the poor, or they will fast. يعني يسوموا عن إطعام كل مسكين يومًا. For every poor person that would have been fed with that amount of food, they will have to fast one day. هذا إذا كان له مثل. If there is no يعني animal that's similar to it, the ulama say that the people have a choice between feeding or fasting. Yani, they will evaluate the amount of the animal that has been hunted. What is its value in money, in dirahim, yani currency, and they will feed yani the equivalent of whatever that money, the amount of food that it would have purchased for how many people. They will feed yani, they will feed people yani food. If they can't sacrifice the animal, they will feed people food, or they will fast yani for every day, I mean, for every person that they would have fed one day. This is, and he's explaining more detail concerning the land animal that's hunted. And either they have to make a sacrifice, or they have to buy food in the amount, yani the equivalent amount of what that sacrifice, yani what it would cost, and feed people, or they have to fast one day for every person that they would have fed if they had bought food. Okay, this is the second type of consequence for the person who violates the matters of ihram, that is the person who has hunted a land animal. Okay, this is a specific yani penalty or consequence that's related to hunting land animals. It's exclusive for that particular case. Yani, what we mentioned, the five matters related to sexual intercourse, is exclusive to that particular case. So these are two types of actions that a person may be penalized for if they violate the yani the prohibitions of ihram. The third matter, the Shaykh says, if a person shaves their head, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made clear what is obligatory in this case, that it is fidyatun min siyamin aw sadaqatin aw nusuk. Yani, in this particular case, what is obligatory upon the person who have shaved their head, shaved their hair off their head, And rather, the scholars said that included in that is shaving the hair off any part of the body. Rather, they even included in this clipping the nails and so on, from the hands or from the feet. And we will see that everything else falls under this category, whatever we didn't mention until now. Yani the shaving, clipping hair, cutting hair from the head, the expiation for it is fasting, or sadaqah, charity, or nusuk, or a sacrifice. Specifically, what does this fasting mean? What is this charity, and what is this sacrifice? The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam has made clear that the fasting, that is the expiation here, is a siyam, yani thalathatu ayyam, fasting 3 days. This is in reference to what? The person who cut the hair from the head. The fasting here is 3 days. Not like what we mentioned before about hunting the land animal. And the fasting would be 1 day for every person that would have been fed with the food. That if they had purchased food equivalent to the animal that was sacrificed, then they would fast 1 day for every poor person that they should have fed. Here, the fasting, yani, is 3 days of fasting. The sadaqah, it'am sitta miskeen, yani, feeding 6 poor people. If the person chooses to give sadaqah, yani, food, they will feed 6 poor people. Instead of fasting 3 days, they can feed 6 poor people. لِكُلِّ مِسْكِينَ نِصْفُ صَاعَ Yani, for every poor person of those 6, they have to give them a half of a sa'a. A sa'a, yani, is a measure in volume that's equivalent to 4 mud. 4 amdad. 4 mud. Yani, meaning holding the hands together. Whatever can be held in the average size of 2 hands together, like this, is 1 mud. 4 mud is a sa'a. So he said what? Nisfu sa'a. Yani, 2 handfuls. 2 handfuls. And the nusuk, yani, is the shat, yani, the lamb or the goat or the sheep, which should be sacrificed, and it should be distributed to the poor, who should be distributed to the poor. Naam. So there are 3 options here: fasting of 3 days, feeding 6 poor people, or making the sacrifice of a small animal like a sheep or goat or a lamb. Then the sheikh says the shaving, huh? Yani, this the mahdura here. Okay, I didn't finish. Maybe I don't see the word that you're talking about, but anyway, let me just come to this part right after he mentioned siyam and sadaqa and nusuk. Then he said, وحلق الرأس. Are you talking about that? حلق الرأس حرام. يعني shaving the hair from the head is حرام. إلا لمن تأذى بالشعر. Except the person who has something that's harming them, something harmful that's in their hair. Like the person had some kind of insects or bugs or something, and he has to cut his hair in order to relieve himself from that. Okay, so shaving of the hair while the person is in ihram is haram, except for the person in that condition. Except for the person in that condition. And this, he said, سَنَتَعَرَّدُ لَهُ إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى. Yani, he's going to talk about this in detail. He will talk about this in detail. Okay, so now we have 3 matters. 1, sexual intercourse. We talked about that. There are 5 consequences. And the second of them is hunting the land animals. And we talked about that also. And the third of them is shaving the head. And the sheikh just mentioned siyam, sadaqah, and nusuk. Fasting 3 days, feeding 6 poor people, half a sa'a, or sacrificing a small animal. After this, the next part of this topic is mahdurat al-ihram tatamma. Yani, the completion of the discussion is in the following question, 252. They ask the sheikh, what is obligatory upon the person who commits any of the prohibited things while in the, yani, the prohibited acts, mahduran min mahdurat, yani, of ihram. Sheikh says, we have already mentioned, wa alaykum salam, we have mentioned in what passed, what is obligatory on the person who commits the mahdurat of ihram, and we mentioned specifically the yani jaza' al-sayd, yani the compensation for the person who has hunted a land animal. And we have also mentioned yani what is obligatory upon the person who committed sexual intercourse, yani meaning before the first tahallul. And we have mentioned what is obligatory for the person who shaved the head, and that it is specifically the fidya, the explanation for the person, expiation for the person who shaved the head, is siyam, yani 3 days, or sadaqah, feeding six poor people, or nusuk, yani sacrificing a small animal. The Shaykh says the Prophet ﷺ has clarified, he has made clear والسلام, that this fasting is 3 days and the sadaqah is feeding 6 poor people, each one of them a half a sa'ah, and that the sacrifice is dhabhu shat, yani the sacrifice of a sheep or goat or lamb, small animal. And this animal should be distributed to the poor. And the person should not eat anything from it at all. And that is because this sacrifice, yani, لِأَنَّهَا وَجَبَتْ جُبْرَانًا لِلنُّسُكْ, because it has been made obligatory upon that person to mend, yani, the violation of the rites of Hajj, whatever they committed while they were in Ihram. Yani, because they have violated, this person has violated something that has been made haram upon them. So this sacrifice is a penalty, and they should not eat anything from it. This fidya, or this expiation, the Shaykh says, تُسَمَّ عِنْدَ أَهْلِ الْعِلْمِ فِدْيَةِ الْأَذَى. Yani, this last one, in reference to shaving the head, yani, the fasting of 3 days, or feeding six poor people, or sacrificing an animal, is called by the scholars fidyatu al-adha, yani the fidya of the one who has been harmed, or that has some harm upon them, yani meaning in reference to the hair specifically. And that is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that adha, the harm that that person may be suffering from, when he said, فَمَنْ كَانَ مِنْكُمْ مَرِيضًا أَوْ بِهِ adha, yani whoever from amongst you is sick, or he has, yani, some harm, yani, that has been caused to him, min ra'asihi. And in the hadith specifically, yani, it was in reference to a man who had some lice in his hair. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he saw how bad it was, he said, I didn't imagine that his condition was like this. So the person who has this, yani, Allah says in the Quran, then the fidya for it is fasting or sadaqah or nusuk. This is Surah Al-Baqarah, second surah, 196 ayat. The Shaykh is using this ayat as a shahid to mention what? Yani, why they call this expiation, yani, fidyatul adha, because Allah mentioned adha in the ayat. The scholars said it is obligatory. This fidya is obligatory. That is, fidyatul adha. Wajibatun fi kulli mahdhur min mahdhurat al-ihram. Yani, it is obligatory in every one of the prohibitions of ihram. Other than ma'ada al-jima. Other than, yani, in every violation of ihram that has a penalty, this is the penalty. This is the penalty. The penalty that's called fidyatul adha. This is the penalty for every violation of ihram other than al-jima, yani before the first coming out of ihram in hajj. And besides, other than the jizah of Sayyid, yani the penalty for hunting land animals. Everything else, the fidya is this fidya. And that is because in jima is an exception from this, because the penalty for the one who commits sexual intercourse is sacrificing a camel. And also excluded from this is hunting land animals, because the penalty for hunting the land animal is al-mithlu, yani that which is like it from the livestock animals, yani whatever they have hunted, or ma yakumu maqamahu, or whatever is, yani can take its place. So every one of the prohibited things of ihram, other than these two, yani other than al-jima' and al-sayd, yani sexual intercourse and hunting land animals, kullu mahdhurat allati fihi fidya, every other violation of ihram that contains an expiation, or that has attached to it an expiation. And the Shaykh is going to explain later that there is some violation where there is no expiation. But every one where there is an expiation, then this is the expiation, except for sexual intercourse and hunting land animals. For everything else, the fidya is fidyatul adha. Yani, fasting 3 days, feeding 6 poor people, or sacrificing a small animal. فَدَخَلَ فِي ذَٰلِكَ, so included in the fidyat al-adha, the same as the shaving the hair from the head, includes wearing the qamis, or the pants, or the hooded garment, and whatever is similar to it. Meaning, the mahdhurat that we said from the mahdhurat al-ihram is what? Labs al-makhit. So everything that comes under labs al-makhit, whether it's wearing pants or shirt, or hooded, any over garment or whatever, all of that comes under fidyatul adha, the same as the person who shaves their hair from their head. Likewise, included under فدية الأذى is تغطية الرأس للرجل. يعني the man covering his head with a garment for covering the head. Or تغطية الوجه للمرأة. Or the woman covering her face with that which is made to cover the face. And also الطيب, يعني sweet smelling scent. And المباشرة, having, يعني the things that lead up to sexual intercourse, hugging and kissing with one's spouse. And whatever is similar to that. هكذا قال أهل العلم في هذه المحظورات. So this is what the scholars have said concerning these محظورات. يعني that the first one is جماع, we discussed it in detail. The second of them is hunting a land animal, we discussed it in detail. The third of them is shaving the hair from the head, and we discussed it in detail. And everything else comes under that. Comes under the فدية الأذى, يعني including what? Wearing garments that are made to fit, wearing, covering the head for the men, women covering the face, using scent on the body, mubasha, yani having direct contact with the spouse, naam. All of these come under, yani, the expiation for cutting the, shaving the hair from the head. Huh? Except the first two, sexual intercourse and hunting land animals. Everything else comes under there if it has a penalty, if it has a penalty. So we can also include, some of the scholars said, the Sheikh Uthaymeen said, that included in shaving the head, coming under that title he had, clipping the nails. And he also said that for the women, is not only covering their face, but with niqab, but also wearing gloves. And he said that this is applicable to both men and women. And what he didn't mention here, there are two other matters that he didn't mention here, now, under fidjitil adha. And they are the completion of the nine matters that we mentioned last week and the week before. Two things that we didn't mention today. Okay, name everything that you know from Mahdurat. Mubashara we just mentioned. Anybody? Labs al-Makhit, I just mentioned. Wearing shirt, pants, hoods. Huh? Huh? What about Aqd al-Nikah? Yeah. And Khitbah? These two things the Shaykh didn't include here. The Aqd al-Nikah, person making a marriage contract, or Khitbah, making a proposal for marriage. Okay, the reason why I mention them here, because the Shaykh is saying, here he mentions under Fidyat al-Adha, everything that's left. Labs al-Makhit, wa alaykum salam. Covering the head, Takhtiyat al-Ras for men, Takhtiyat al-Wajh for women, الطيب, sweet smelling scent, المباشرة. That's all that's left. It was only nine things. So those five things, يعني, are the things that he didn't mention here. We also included with shaving the head, the clipping of the nails, and with the woman covering her face, wearing gloves, which is for both men and women. What he didn't mention here is nikah and khitbah. And he's going to mention it, يعني, now as we go along. After this, it's mentioned here under the same topic of the ruling concerning the one who commits any of the violations of ihram, but jahilan, out of ignorance. What is the ruling concerning the person who commits any of the things, the prohibitions of ihram, out of ignorance, due to ignorance? They didn't know the ruling concerning it. Okay, so this is the topic. This is question number 253. It's on page 355. يا فضيلة الشيخ ما حكم من ارتكب محظورا من هذه المحظورات ناسيا أو جاهلا. What is the ruling concerning the person who committed any of these prohibitions while in ihram due to forgetfulness or due to ignorance? And there's a third matter that didn't come in the question, the Shaykh is going to mention in the answer. What is the third matter? Huh? It's related to that. يعني متعمدا نعم. Makrahan, yani the person who's forced, yani against their will, who's compelled to do something against their will. Yani the person who did it due to forgetfulness, or the person who did it due to ignorance of the law, or the person who did it being forced or compelled to do it. Sheikh mentions these three together. Even in the question only came two, nasiyan wa jahilan, but the Sheikh says also the person who's compelled, right? Because the Prophet ﷺ said that my ummah has been pardoned for whatever they have nasiya. أو خطأ يعني أخطأ أو مك يعني مكرو مستقرئ عليه or whatever person is compelled to do against their will. So the Shaykh here now he says, okay, in reference to this question, that the mahdurat of ihram are divided into four divisions. Yani all of those 9 things or 11 or 13 or whatever, they come into four divisions. The first division is al-khitbah. I'm sorry, the first division is ma la fidyata fihi aslan. That which there's no expiation for it, aslan. Yani meaning it's a violation of ihram, but there's no penalty for it. There's no penalty for it. That's the first division. The Shaykh says, the scholars, al-ulama, mathala lahu al-ulama, bi-aqt al-nikah wal-khitbah. Yani the examples they gave of that which there's no specified expiation for them, yani is the person who engages in a marriage contract or in a marriage proposal. Yani khitbat al-nikah. They said, inna hadha laysa fihi fidya. There's no expiation for this. This is the first division of the types of things that are violations of ihram. The first division is what? That there's no expiation for it, aslan. The second division is ma fidyatuhu fidyatul adha. Yani the second type of violation are those violations which the expiation for them is fidyatul adha. Yani it's the same expiation as the one for the one who cuts the hair, shaves the hair from their head, or cuts the hair from their head. The second division, yani meaning the people who cut their hair, clip their nails, yani wear the clothing that's fit to meet the parts of the body, use scent and so on. All of this is the second type, yani that the fidya is fidyatul adha. The third division is the one that fidyatuhu badana. Yani is the one, its fidya is the slaughtering of a camel. And this one is which violation? Jima'a, sexual intercourse. And the fourth division, fidyatuhu al-jaza, yani al-mithl. Yani the hunting of the land animals. Okay, so there's the jima' fidya, and then there's the sayd fidya, and then there's the cutting of the hair fidya, which is fidya til adha, and then there's some violation where there's no fidya at all. So there are four divisions. Can anybody tell me the four of them? Huh? I'm not talking about the cause for it. Yani the violations of ihram come under four divisions. Ma la fidyata alayhi aslan. That which there's no expiation for it. There's no expiation for it. The one that the fidya is the fidya til adha. And one is the fidya til badana, that is jima, and the other one is fidya to jizal mithlu. Yani the hunting land animals. Okay, so the important thing here is that any the one that there's no penalty for it is by itself, right? The sexual intercourse is by itself. The hunting land animals by itself. Everything else comes under fidyatul adha. After this, the Shaykh he breaks down this a little bit further. I mean, the question that they ask, because the original question is, what is the ruling concerning the person who violates one of the prohibitions of ihram out of ignorance? After explaining that the violations are in four categories, now he answers the question, specifically, what is the ruling concerning the person who violates one of these prohibitions due to ignorance? Somebody had a question?
Yeah, can you give an example of prohibition which does not have like fidya?
Doesn't have any fidya. The Sheikh said, he said that the first division is the division that there's no fidya for it aslan. مَثَّلَ لَهُ الْعُلَمَاء بِأَقْتْ النِّكَاحْ وَالْخِطْبَةِ أَقْتْ النِّكَاحْ وَالْخِطْبَةِ. Yani making a marriage contract or making a marriage proposal. They said, the scholars, the Shaykh said, the scholars say, هَذَا لَيْسَ فِيهِ فِدْيَةٌ. Okay, as far as the camel, we know that's jima'. As far as the, yani hunting the land animals, we know that it is what? Hunting land animals, what's the penalty? Yani, sacrificing an animal from the livestock that's similar to it. If there's no such animal, then it has to be evaluated. Its value in money, food will be purchased by that amount of money to feed the poor. Or, for how many poor people that would have fed? Fasting one day for each poor person. Naam. Now the Shaykh, naam.
Most correct is
Notice that the Shaykh, he said, listen to the words, okay? That's why I would say pay attention and carefully to the choice of words. This is not the first time he said something like this. The Shaykh says, the first category is no fidya. He says, ما لا فدية فيه أصلا مثل له العلماء. Look at the language he used. مثل له العلماء. He didn't say this is the ayah from the Quran, this is the hadith from the Prophet. This is what the scholars, يعني, have said concerning this. I understand, but he's a scholar who had to learn from scholars before him. يعني, so this is what he was taught by the scholars before. This is what he learned from the earliest scholars. He said, this is the example that the scholars have gave. And then he said, after he mentioned that, he said, قالوا, they said, he didn't say, this is what I say, this is ara ana. He said, قالوا, this is what they said, إِنَّ هَذَا لَيْسَ فِيهِ فِدْيَةٌ. That's the end of his discussion. What does that tell you? This is not the first time he said something like this. And we stopped on it before, and I told you, pay attention to the language. Because when the Shaykh is saying that, he's saying, if I had an ayah from the Quran or hadith, I'll bring it. But this is what the scholars before me, this is what they said, I'm just passing on what they said. That's what, we don't have anything on this. Except what, this is what the scholars said. Okay? This is very important to pay attention to this. Because in this kind of matter, sure, there's room for ikhtilaf. Because there's no nas that's specifically related to the issue. In that case, when we don't have a textual proof that clearly relates to the issue, then we say, this is what the scholars said. We don't just make up something ourselves. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah said, whoever said something that there was no scholar before him who said it, this person is jahil and in error. So when you don't have a textual specific proof, then you go to the scholars of the people of Sunnah from before. What they said, that's what we say. The same thing they said. We don't come with something new. But there's room for difference of opinion. Naam. If there's no textual proof, it's possible for people to differ. In any case, the last thing that the Shaykh says, yeah, this is the last topic that he mentions, he says, for everything, fihi fidya, yani for everything in which there is a fidya, that's excluding the examples that he gave of making a marriage contract and making a marriage proposal. For everything in which there is a fidya, فَإِنَّ فَاعِلُهُ لَا يَخْلُو مِنْ ثَلَاثَ حَالَاتٍ. So for everything in which there is a fidya, then the person who has committed that violation, there's only three possible conditions that he can fall under. This is in reference to the question, what's the ruling of the person who committed one of these violations, these prohibitions, out of ignorance? He said there's only three possible conditions a person can be in. The first condition is the person did it aliman, dhakiran, mukhtaran. The first condition is the person did it knowing the ruling, the Sharia ruling. Dhakiran, he's conscious of what he's doing. He's yani doing it intentionally, not by mistake. وَمُخْتَارًا, yani he made a choice to do this. So the person knows the ruling, he's conscious of the ruling, and he did it by choice, not under compulsion. He did it by choice, not under compulsion. These are three critical areas that are confirmed in the Quran and in the Sunnah. That a person does something knowingly or unknowingly, they did it consciously or unconsciously, mistakenly, or they did it by choice or under compulsion. So the Shaykh said, the first possible of three conditions is that the person does it knowing, conscious, by choice. So what's his condition? In this condition, يَتَرَتَّبْ عَلَيْهِ الْإِثْمُ. There's sin upon him, وَمَا يَجِبُ فِيهِ الْفِدْيَةِ. And also, whatever is the fidya for that particular act. Yani, from the different types of fidya. Fidya til adha, or yani badan, or so on. Sayyid. That's the first condition. The person did it, knowing the law, consciously doing it, not by mistake, and by choice, not under compulsion. The second of three possible conditions. وَأَمَّا أَنْ يَفْعَلُهُ مُتَعَمِّدًا. The person did it, yani mutaamidan, intentionally, ذَاكِرًا, not by mistake. They're conscious of what they're doing. Aliman, knowing the law of Islam concerning that matter. Mukhtaran, choosing to do it, not being compelled. Lakin li'udhrin. But he did it because he has a legal excuse in the Sharia. Yani, he did it, yes, he knew the law, he was conscious of what he's doing, it wasn't a mistake, and he chose to do it because he had a legal excuse to violate that prohibition. Like the man who cut his hair. He knew what he was doing, He was conscious of what he's doing, and he did it by choice because he had a legal excuse. فَهَذَا لَيْسَ عَلَيْهِ إِثْمٌ. There's no sin upon this person. Why there's no sin? Over, because he has an excuse. وَلَكَنْ عَلَيْهِ الْفِدْيَةِ. But he still has to make the expiation. Whatever is required for that act that he has committed. This is like the person who cuts his hair because he has some problem there, or whatever is similar to it. He did it مُتَعَمِّدًا. Yani intentionally, عَلِمًا, knowing the law, ذَاكِرًا, not by mistake, conscious of what he's doing. فَإِنَّهُ يَجِبْ عَلَيْهِ الْفِدْيَةِ. He has to pay the expiation, but there's no sin upon him. Why? Because he was ma'adhur, excused. The first condition, the first two conditions, both of them did it knowingly, consciously, willingly. But one had an excuse, the other one didn't. The one who had an excuse, there's no sin against him, but he still has to pay the expiation. The third possibility is, yani the answer to their question, إما أن يفعل هذه المحظورات ناسيا أو جاهلا أو مكرها. يعني the third condition is that a person engages in a violation of the ihram due to forgetfulness. ناسيا, not ذاكرا, he wasn't conscious of what he was doing. He did it by mistake. Or he did it جاهلا. يعني he wasn't عالما. He didn't know the law. Or he did it مكرها. يعني not مختارا. He didn't choose to do it by choice. Rather he was forced to do it. فَهَذَا لَيْسَ عَلَيْهِ شَيْءٌ. This one, there's nothing upon him. There's no sin, there's no fidya. The one who engaged in one of these things, jahilan, that was their question, he said there's nothing upon him. Likewise, the same thing, the one who did it, yani nasiyan, due to forgetfulness, or the one who did it under compulsion, there's nothing upon him, there's no sin, there's no fidya, the shaykh says, لَا إِثْم وَلَا فِدْيَا أَيَّن كَانَ الْمَحْذُورَ. No matter what it was that he violated. Doesn't matter what it was. If he did it forgetfully, yani mistakenly, or under compulsion, there's nothing upon him at all. And this is based on the general meaning of the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah, second Surah, 286 ayat, رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَخِذْنَا إِن نَسِينَا أَوْ أَخْطَعْنَا. O our Lord, do not call us to account if we have forgotten or we have done something mistakenly. Yani not ذاكراً. And not يعني عالماً. We did it due to forgetfulness and mistakenly. And the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, in reference to this supplication, he said, Allah has said, يعني he has answered, he has given you that. يعني that he will not call you to account when you had done something due to forgetfulness or mistake. The general meaning of the ayat also, from Surah Al-Ahzab, 33rd Surah, 5th ayat, لَيْسَ عَلَيْكُمْ جُنَاحٌ. There's no يعني sin against you. There's no harm against you. فِي مَا أَخْطَعْتُمْ بِهِ. And whatever you have done by mistake. وَلَكِنْ مَا تَعَمَّدَتْ كُلُوبُكُمْ. But you will be responsible and called to account for that which you did مُتَعَمِّدًا. يعني تَعَمَّدَتْ كُلُوبُكُمْ. Your hearts did it. يعني knowing, consciously doing what you're doing by choice. And also he says, also another proof of this is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in reference to the punishment for the person who hunts the land animal. Surah Al-Ma'idah, 5th Surah, 95th ayah, which we read earlier, وَمَنْ قَتَلَهُ مِنْكُمْ مُتَعَمِّدًا. Yani the person who kills that land animal, مُتَعَمِّدًا. Yani intentionally, consciously, knowingly. The Shaykh says, in reference to the last ayat, if it has been made as a condition that there's a penalty for hunting the land animal, the condition is the person had to have done it intentionally. If that is so, while that killing that animal, yani is destruction, it's destroying something, it's taking a life. And yet still there's no penalty unless you did it mutaammidan. فَمَا أَدَاهُ مِنْ بَابِ الْأَوْلَى. So whatever is besides that, yani is more rightfully so, that there shouldn't be any penalty on a person. If there's no penalty on the person who killed the animal, but not, yani they didn't do it intentionally, if there's no penalty on them, then what about a person who wore some clothing or put on some scent or did something that's less than yani destruction? Then by more so then, it should be a condition that they had to have done it intentionally. And that's why the Shaykh said, so if they did it yani unintentionally, then there's no penalty on them whatsoever. Based on this, the Shaykh says, إِذَا فَعَلَ أَحَدٌ شَيْئًا مِنْ هَذِهِ الْمَحْظُورَاتِ. If anybody does any one of these prohibited acts, ناسياً, forgetfully, not mutaammidan, jahilan, yani out of ignorance, not knowing the law, makrahan, yani under compulsion, not yani mukhtaran, not by choice, falaysa alayhi shay'un, There's nothing upon him. There's no sin and there's no fidya. And his rights of Hajj or Umrah are not invalidated. They are not spoiled. وَلَا يَفْسُدُ نُسُقَهُ. Yani his rights go on. They're perfect. There's no yani defect in them. And there's nothing to do over. وَلَا يَتَعَلَّقْ بِهِ شَيْءٍ أَصْلًا. Yani there's nothing yani related to this person in terms of penalty or consequences. If this is their condition, yani the third condition, person who did it out of forgetfulness or ignorance or out of compulsion. وَلَوْ كَانَ مَحْذُورًا جِمَعًا. And the Shaykh finishes by saying, even if the violation that they committed was having sexual intercourse. Yani out of ignorance. Or, yani forgetfully. Or under compulsion. This is the end of what the Shaykh said. Now, I didn't hear what you said. Well, I mean, this is there are many different ways that could happen, okay? So I think you're just looking at one way. Perhaps you're saying the lady whose husband forced her to have relations, right? But there are other possibilities as well. There are other possibilities. It's not just one possibility. They might both be forced. That's right. Somebody, a third party, could force somebody to do something. And it's not only one case. But the point is, whoever is forced, then it doesn't matter how it came from wherever. Whoever is forced, they are free of blame. Allahu Akbar. Subhanakallah. Inshallah. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.